Log Talk Radio.
You're listening to Eco Alert with Nadine Patrice. Today we're talking about edible gardening.
Yes, hi. We were just talking about you. We were waiting for your call. And I was giving a little bit of information, but it's best to come from you. Karen is from the Edible Garden Program, and you are at the Yellow Green Farmers Market. But Karen, welcome on the show. And why don't you tell us, introduce yourself and tell us what your program is and how long you've been doing it.
Okay. Well, my name is Karen Fields, and I'm from Chicago. I'm known down here as the Edible Gardening Gal. And what I do is I teach people how to grow their own food, and I go to their homes, I go to their schools, to their clubs. What I'm trying to do is make people aware that they're not really getting the nutrition that they need right now, and they need to be growing something so that they can get the nutrition that they need. People don't know this, but 5 days after you pick something off the vine or tree, it loses over 50% of its nutrition. So you really need to grow. Yeah, it's a lot, and it keeps lessening and lessening. So a lot of people try to solve that problem by going to the natural food stores and getting organic produce, which is fantastic. They're also doing a story right now on the news about organic produce. They say it's much better for you than regular produce, but they're really missing the point. It's not, it has the same nutrients as the other produce. It just hasn't grown with pesticides. That's the difference between organic produce. But what my point is, when you go to a grocery store and buy organic produce and pay extra money for it, you're getting something that may have been grown without pesticides or chemicals, but it may have been sitting on the shelf for 4 or 5 days or a week or two and may not have any nutrients left in it. So it's really a double-edged sword. You've really got to be growing something yourself so that you can pick it.
And you you have to be aware and learn, because right now as you're speaking, in the few minutes that you're speaking, I've learned so much, because a lot of people know about organic, but they don't know what it means. In a few minutes, you gave us great information, which is about the organic. What is the difference between the organic and the regular grown plant? But also what I didn't is after you harvest the vegetable, whatever, it loses a lot of the vitamins right away. So you're giving us a lot of great information. But I see that you don't only go and show people how to grow their own garden, but you also provide nutritionist information, right?
I try to give them all I got, especially if I'm talking to kids. I really think that they're at a disservice right now. They're growing up, and they're not going to get what they need. It's going to be hard for them to sit in school. It's going to be hard for them to develop their brains. They need nutrients, and it's really, really important that parents realize that they've got to be growing something. If it's just parsley or basil, even that, it's going to be better than buying something from the store. And if you notice, when you get things from the store now, you put them up to your nose, and they really don't have much of a smell to them. Especially strawberries. I mean, you can go and you can get the most beautiful strawberries at the store, and they're beautiful big red berries with no white shoulders, and they look delicious. And then as soon as you bite them, they have no flavor and they have no smell. And that's because a lot of these things are being grown hydroponically now. And hydroponic, I'm kind of on the fence about hydroponics. I'm not really crazy about it.
What is it, people listening that don't really know what hydroponic is? Briefly.
Okay, hydroponics is growing in water, nutrient-dense water. And they're doing a lot now because it's easier to grow. But the problem is that the taste is not quite there yet. You can compare an organically grown, hydroponically grown strawberry to a regular grown strawberry, and if you close your eyes, you definitely can tell the difference. And so, logically, for me, I know if they haven't alleviated the problem of making it taste exactly the same, they must be not including something. There must be something not included,
something missing for it. Yeah.
Yes, something missing. You know, even when you take vitamins or when you eat food, something is a catalyst for something else. So you don't know really, because it's man-made and it's not nature-made. When you're growing hydroponically, you really don't know what you're getting. And
you have to let nature do its course, Karen. You have to let nature do its course. That's what you're saying,
It's the natural thing. It's the easy thing. It's really the only way, because if something is missing in the taste department of something that's grown hydroponically, it's got to be missing somewhere in the nutrients as well. And you don't know where.
I want to go back to one of the things that you said, Karen, as far as how important nutrition and food is necessary for the kids so they can be aware and focused. They can learn, because we have the same problem in Haiti. We have a lot of malnutrition, and I've studied that. I learned that without food, it affects the learning abilities of young people. So I think that issue is really, really important.
Oh, yes, we're going to be raising dummies. People won't, because they're not eating.
People don't realize that.
Yeah, it's very important. It's very important. And this has got to get out to the parents. Parents really need to have this really in the forefront of their minds when they're raising children now. I think it's one of the most important things.
Because what is the epidemic right now? People are eating so much junk food and soda. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a show this week, and where they have a ban in New York on any soda that's more than 16 ounces. I don't know if you heard that, because they have so much sugar because of the obesity situation, you know. And we need to have more of that, because, you know, the kids are consuming so much food that has a lot of sugar and snacks and things like that. So parents have really to be careful, because it really will affect the future of that child.
Absolutely. And you know what, Nadine, I'll tell you, the produce is going to get so expensive that pretty soon, you know, chocolate is a treat for children right now, but I think in a couple years, maybe 5-10 years, it may be an orange is a treat or a watermelon is a treat, because it's just going to be so hard to get the good-tasting, nutrient-dense foods that we need. It's going to be easy to buy chocolate and all that stuff. So I think we're going to do a big turnaround. We have to.
So in the service that you provide, Karen, you say that you go to anybody. You go to school as a service, right?
Well, I do. Half of it's volunteer and half of it's paid. I try to maintain that balance. Just so that I can do the work that I love to do. I really love working with children, and I just think that they're the most important things to be teaching right now. They really need to know. And if a school doesn't have the money for me to come, I'm happy to come there and show. They really love to work with kids.
And you also have a percentage of adults that ask you to come and show them how to grow, because people might want to grow, but they don't know how, you know, they have to have the income. So you have a percentage of people that have a garden that you go and show, correct? And you charge them?
Correct. You know, Nadine, it's not an easy place to grow down here, and I'm sure in Haiti the same thing. There's a lot of humidity in the air and a lot of heat. So you really need to know what you're doing here. You can't just pick up a gardening book and follow it. The gardening books that are written are usually for the rest of the country. We're in Zone 10B. We were just changed from Zone 10, which was the hottest, to 10B, which is hotter than the hottest. You really need to know what you're doing. You have to stick with the right varieties and cultivars. You must get the right soil in the right containers. You can't, like in California, you can just throw some seeds around and everything will grow. Chicago, too, of course. Their challenge is they have the winter. So each area of the country has certain challenges. And our challenges are the heat and the humidity, like I said, and you just have to stick with the right things. And then you can be successful.
Well, Karen, if people are listening right now and they want to get in contact with you, if you have a phone number or email address or website, what is it?
My website is ediblegardening.biz. EDIBLE gardening.biz. I'm also at the Yellow Green Farmers Market every Saturday and Sunday from 11:30 to 2:30. Love that place. Like my home away from home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is so wonderful. What is your booth number, Karen?
My booth number is 73, right in the front, by the music.
Wonderful. Oh, by the music, which is a good place to be. So, Karen, yeah. I know we discussed a lot and we learned so much today, but I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, if there's one word or something that you want to leave our listening audience with, you let us know. We'll be right back.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Now, Karen, before you start talking back with Nadine, is there a minimum amount of space or how much space in an urban area do you need to handle some kind of gardening that's worthwhile? And also, can you enhance the soil? I mean, it's very rocky in a lot of the coastal areas of Florida, Miami, and and other counties. How do you overcome that to make good soil?
That's a great question. You can't make good soil here in South Florida. It's all sand. So what you have to do is you have to mix soil. And your three ingredients are compost, vermiculite, and peat moss. And those three ingredients will give you the perfect soil to grow your vegetables. Now, as far as space goes, you don't need a lot of space. You can grow a lot of things in a little bit of space. You just have to know what you're doing, and you have to know how big the plant is and how much space it needs. If you wanted to grow something like carrots, which grow underneath the ground, you could grow carrots underneath the soil and be growing lettuce on top of the soil at the same time. So those kinds of problems can all be dealt with very easily down here.
It's a matter of education, isn't it?
It truly is. You just really have to do the right thing, like I said when I was talking to Nadine. In other parts of the country where you don't have as much hot weather as we have down here in humidity, you can slide. But you can't really slide here. You've got to do the right thing.
Well, I'm glad about the tip about the carrots, because I always wanted to grow carrots because we grew tomatoes and different things, but I didn't realize that you can also grow the lettuce on top. So this is a lot of wonderful information, Karen. I'm sure I would love to have you again on another show, because we learned so much today. But anything definitely that you want to make sure that our listening audience leaves today's show with? That's so important.
Well, you did say one word. I want to tell them that they need to be responsible for their own selves. And I think responsibility to oneself is really and to one's people, responsibility to the earth, to oneself, and just do the right thing and grow something.
Thank you, Karen. That is wonderful. And the website was?
The website is ediblegardening.biz.
Wonderful. So I'll look forward to seeing you soon today, because we are also at the Yellow Green Farmers Market. My booth is number 225, and Karen's booth is number?
73.
We'll see you soon. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to have you on Eco Alert with Nadine Patrice, and we learned so much. We appreciate it. See you soon.
Thank you, Nadine. Okay. Bye-bye.